got little Zaki in here, your 10-year-old. Will he be able to start and watch some of the cricket whilst Dad's away? And has he been indoctrinated into the Canberra Raiders fan club?
No, he's a Parramatta Eel. So
oh, there you go.
The sparkly eel.
Tanya loves that.
Yeah. Big game today for you as well, Zach.
They were good last week, Zach, weren't they? 51-6.
Yeah. Did Dad take you out to Bankwest Stadium? No, he didn't. Oh, look at that. Disapproving.
We got an interesting look from Mum yesterday because Zach said, oh, the Raiders v Manly. He said, oh, I reckon we roll the Raiders into Parramatta. And I said, oh, I think you just get in the car and we'll go to soccer.
He's learning a young age. Well done, mate.
Very good. Hey, Brad, great to have you in for the program. We do appreciate it. Good luck for the World Cup coming up and, of course, the Ashes. And, yes.
Bring them both home.
Go your Raiders. And, Zachy, go your Reels this afternoon.
Thanks, Brad.
I'm Sarah Womby. A woman has died after a shooting at a Southern California synagogue and a 19-year-old man is in custody. US police say four people were taken to hospital after the shooting at a synagogue outside San Diego just before 11:30 in the morning local time on Saturday. The San Diego police chief said there was no further risk or threat to the public. Back home, Prime Minister Scott Morrison and Labor leader Bill Shorten are ramping up their election campaigning as a new poll indicates Labor still leading on a two-party preferred basis 3 weeks out from the May 18 federal election. However, the coalition's chances of winning the election enjoyed a small improvement, according to the YouGov Galaxy poll published by News Corp Australia. The poll of just over 1,000 Australian voters shows support for the coalition up 1 point to 48%. On a two-party preferred basis, but still trailing Labor on 52%. The coalition is now level on primary votes, up 2 points to match Labor's 37%, while the Greens are on 9%, and One Nation and Clive Palmer's United Australia Party are both on 4%. Nationals leader Michael McCormack has dismissed fresh calls for a royal commission into the Murray-Darling Basin plan. Sean Bindley has more.
South Australian Liberal and ex-Cabinet Minister Amanda Vanstone wants a major inquiry into Australia's water systems with a focus on the basin. The Deputy Prime Minister said southern New South Wales irrigators were watching water flow past their farms to fulfil environmental outcomes in South Australia. He said the basin plan was an environmental document, but farming communities needed to be protected to help them produce world-leading food and fibre. Sean Bindley, Air News.
New figures out today show nearly 13 million Australians have at least three risk factors for heart disease. The findings released for Heart Week also reveal the vast majority of Australians aren't eating enough vegetables or getting enough exercise. In the light of the findings, Professor Gary Jennings from the Heart Foundation is urging people to see their GP for a heart health check.
Most heart disease risk factors can be changed and there's plenty you can do about them. The list includes smoking, having high blood pressure or high cholesterol, being inactive, having an unhealthy diet.
Also in news, the wife of Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton says the family is under police guard and has received online death threats. And a second unsolved kidnapping and gang rape of a Melbourne teenager in the 1980s is being reinvestigated by Victorian police. Chinese authorities have dismantled a gang accused of manufacturing and selling fake Lego worth $30 million. The BBC's Rory Gallimore reports.
After piecing together the clues, investigators raided the toy maker Le Pin in the southern city of Shenzhen. State media say four people were arrested and more than 600,000 pieces of counterfeit Lego seized. Officers said there were striking similarities with the Danish firm's designs, including a Star Wars knockoff rebranded as Star Plan. China has promised to clamp down on intellectual property infringements. These arrests are likely to please Lego, which already sells 75 billion bricks every year.
And an airstrike has hit the Libyan capital, Tripoli. Residents say a drone was guiding missiles, followed by several loud explosions. This is Air News. Milestone man Anthony Milford has helped steer Brisbane to a drought-breaking 20-96 NRL win over an injury-hit Cronulla at Suncorp Stadium. 5'8 Milford celebrated his 150th game with a first-half masterclass, setting up two of Brisbane's three opening half tries and potting a field goal. Coach Anthony Seibold says it was certainly Milford's best performance this year.
I just thought his kicking game was outstanding tonight. It made it really challenging for their back three, and we got some rewards off the back of that, and we got a lot of field position off the back of that, and he didn't go away from it.
In the earlier game, West Tigers beat the Gold Coast Titans 30-14 in Tamworth. Taylor Walker's indifferent form mirrored Adelaide's during their early season struggles, but both are right back on track after the Crows ground out a 29-point win over St Kilda. The co-captain's influence was critical with four goals in the 15-7-97 to 10-8-68 victory at Marvel Stadium that levelled the club's season ledger at 3 wins and 3 losses. There were also wins yesterday for Fremantle, GWS and Brisbane. In the A-League, Melbourne Victory have beaten the Western Sydney Wanderers 1-0. The Newcastle Jets have defeated Sydney FC 2-0 in their final game of the year. The Stormers have beaten their bitter South African rivals, the Bulls 24-23 in a Super Rugby thriller in Cape Town. The Sharks were too good for the Waratahs, beating them 23-15, and the Hurricanes took down the Chiefs 47-19. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
5% deposit is all you'll pay till completion with a Clarendon house and land package. To find out more, visit their Park Lee Supercentre today. T's and C's apply. In Concord, Gipp Street is closed westbound between Broughton and John Streets due to an earlier accident. There are diversions in place and lane 1 of 2 on Broughton Street is closed to northbounders. And in Barara, lights are flashing on the Pacific Highway at Barara Waters Road. Want to know you're covered? Talk to GAO. You know, with GAO. Before buying insurance issued by GAO, read the PDS at gao.com.au and consider if it's right for you. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
If I told you you could be part of a champion pedigree racehorse trained by Robert Heathcote or Chris Muntz, if I told you Schnitzel and Written Tycoon were the size, if I told you you could be part of Magic Millions Day on track, owner side, and you only needed $176 and $15 per month, would you stop dreaming and do it? Life's better with a racehorse. Be part of it with My Runners at mirunners.com.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny day, areas of smoke haze, mostly in the south. Light winds heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees in Sydney. James, what's the weather at Goulburn and Tamworth today?
17 degrees is the top temperature in Goulburn today.
Cool.
And it's getting to 3 overnight. Leave me out of Goulburn. 25 degrees, the maximum in Tamworth today. A beautiful sunny day for the Cup.
This is Leroy Sane for Manchester City, who have a 2-goal lead at Old Trafford.
Takiaho has got it, and he strides away. Takiaho, he puts a seal on the Anzac Day game.
George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight, working it down to 2-1. A deep three.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show, Jimmy. A big last hour coming up, but just a quick update, Jimmy.
It's Jimmy, mate, the bloke you've worked with for the last decade.
No, this has come through from the Chief Steward, Mark Van Gestel, and I appreciate that. Just an update on those three jockeys from Tamingley yesterday. Unfortunately,
yes.
they've... suffered pretty severe injuries. Ricky Blewett has some spinal fractures, a fractured rib, possible scapular fracture, but his injuries should heal on their own without surgery. That's good news. Michael Gray has a fractured clavicle and waiting results of other tests. They're both in Dubbo Hospital. The real concern is with Michael Hackett. His condition remains listed as critical. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Michael and his family there, Jim.
Well said, Raymond. A big hour to finish the show this morning. A big thank you to Brad Haddon for coming in. I hope people appreciated that. I'm sure you did. Dean Ritchie very shortly. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. Event Cinema's quiz is back, Raymond. Actually, to be honest, it never went away.
And you were dashed away to a sizable little lead, 9-7, James.
I think it was Dave from Wattlegrove last week who concurred wholeheartedly with me when he described it as a mini break.
Mini break, yeah.
And so I'm going to go with that. A-League is just about done too. We're having just the last game today of the regular season. EPL EPL is so interesting at the moment. Phil Moss will be on, have a chat about that. And we'll speak to Greg Rudolph from out there at Hawkesbury too after the standalone day. Your favourite day of the racing calendar. Has he? Has he? Oh, we might discuss those here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're talking grudge matches. That's our talk topic for today. By the way, Wingman Beer is available for the... Do we have the second print yet of Wink, the book that you wrote that you haven't seen a dollar from?
Yeah, no, haven't seen a dollar from the first print. And I think the second print has actually begun or was about to begin, yes, because they were collating those final articles. So, James, you have to go forward into negotiations for me, I think.
Well, it was interesting during the course of the week, our great friend Michelle from Dubbo, who is a listener to the program, who finally received her China Doll voucher. And by the way, that was nothing to do with China Doll. That was all our fault on that. Well, actually, my fault on that one. So
you've been a busy man.
I accept full responsibility for that one. Now, but even Michelle, she had to organise trying to get time off work to come down for her trip to Sydney. And I asked on social media, would you like Ray Thomas to come in and do the negotiate? One of the world's great negotiators. Ray, we're going to do this. Oh, okay, that'll do.
But we will try and catch up with Michelle and her friends when they're down here. She did ask to go for a drink, and we'll do that.
Most definitely, which means we better do our second question for the China Doll quiz. Which bowler did Brad Haddon describe as the best fast bowler in Australia on his day?
That was a surprise.
It was. It was interesting, wasn't it? Which fast bowler did Brad Haddon describe as the best fast bowler in Australia on his day? 1353 53 when you get yourself your third question. Time now to talk some more rugby league. We do it with Dean Bulldog Ritchie. And by the way, it just brings me to this point that was made to me during the course of the week. I was out there at the Roosters versus Dragons Anzac Day clash working for a rival station.
Do you reckon management can like you continually saying that?
Craig Elliott, who's from up there at Lake Macquarie, he said, look, do you mind if you ever mentioned I love listening to the program. I listen to you and Ray every Sunday morning. I'm listening after 8. I have a sleep in on Sundays. I usually get up early during the course of the week. I love listening to Peter Peters and Dean Bulldog Ritchie, is what he said to me, quote unquote.
Fantastic.
So after I picked myself up off the floor, Ray,
I can't say things like that.
Not true.
You just did.
Number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Hello, Dino.
Yeah, good morning. I'm not sure I want to be compared with Thor. Over-opinionated.
Oh, no. At least people are listening, Dino. How are you? Hey, Dino, what's your take on the Gus Gould situation at Penrith, mate?
Oh, Ray, if I read one more story or hear one more comment saying we all love each other at Penrith, I think I'm going to be sick. Gus came out this morning and said he loves Ivan Cleary. I mean, clearly the situation was untenable out there. Gus had lost his power. The redundancy excuse, even to me, is a little bit dubious. Look, Ivan Cleary didn't even have to answer to Gus. That was part of his original agreement when he went back to Penrith, that he would report directly to Dave O'Neill and Brian Fletcher. How can you possibly have your coach not reporting to the executive general manager of football?
That's
quite
right.
Clearly, Ivan's power has superseded Gus's power out there, and this is the situation that we've got. But there was obviously troubles between the two. They can say what they like publicly, but I think we all know privately that there's obviously friction there. It dates back to a couple of years ago, of course, when Gould sacked Ivan.
Yes, he was tired.
You can't tell me that, you know, that all is rosy out there. It's just ridiculous.
Yes, and the trigger for it was apparently the extension of a contract of an existing top 30 player that was supposed to go through the recruitment and retention committee, of which Gus was a part, but he did it of his own volition, and as a result of that, it went against what they believed, so it all came to a head from that point. To extend it and move it forward, Dino, do you see him popping up at any other clubs in the short term?
Well, the Dragons have been mentioned, Jimmy, Bulldogs, Knights. Perella's been floated before too, but I'm hearing that the interest for Gould out of the Shire has now diminished, so I don't think he'll end up to Cronulla. Look, it depends what role and at what club he goes to, Jimmy. I mean, at Penrith, it was really a rebuilding phase for the Panthers, and Gould was the perfect man out there,
yes,
given his contact rather, and his influence. But other established clubs may not need Gus to the point where he may come in and, you know, cause the same friction, if that's the right word, with the head coach. I'm sure there'll be a lot of head coaches out there thinking, I don't really want Gus here because I know what his personality is, and that personality, as we all know, is one of being involved heavily and, you know, making sure that he gets what he wants.
Very interesting. Hey, Dino, a slight change of pace. NRL took a game to Tamworth yesterday, the Tigers-Titans match. I love this idea. I'm indebted to Bob. Bob from Tamworth let me know that the official crowd was 9,799 at Scully Park.
And yep.
Would you like to see the NRL do more of this?
Oh, I'd love to, Ray. I think there's a game going down to Wagga next week as well.
Yep.
We're up the Sunshine Coast 2 weeks ago. I think it's got to go rural, Ray. Mm. And there's money to be made there for clubs too, through obviously the attraction of going bush and local regional councils paying up some good coin to get them out there.
Mm.
I mean, what it does do, Ray, I guess the only downside is it brings crowds down. I mean, 9,000 is a great crowd for Scully Park, don't get me wrong, but
yes,
at the end of the year when the crowds are all sort of worked out and the average of attendance is down on the previous year, you know, people jump up and down then because you're not getting the big crowds out there. But
it's a greater good, isn't it, Dino? It's a greater good.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, for some games, it's just a perfect fit, isn't it? Mm.
Dino, on Friday night, there I was at ANZ Stadium for the Bulldogs v the Cowboys. The announced crowd was just under 8,000. If there was 6,000 there, I'd be surprised. And that's the perfect game to take somewhere, notwithstanding that I've got no doubt that the Bulldogs have a really great financial incentive to stay there, and the commercial commitment that they have with ANZ Stadium is a great one. But even if they move that game, it's the same venue operators, Venues Live, that operate ANZ Stadium that now are controlling the new Bankwest Stadium. If they just move that game to Bankwest Stadium, 4,000 people would have turned up just to see the stadium. Like, that's where 100%. They have to be a bit of flexibility to it.
Well, I can't see why they can't be flexible, Jimmy. They say the draw is set in concrete, and it is to some degree, but I can remember about 10 years ago, they moved to semi-final Townsville in 1 week.
Yes, right.
The Broncos played. It can be done, is what I'm saying. There's an easy excuse to say it can't be done. It can be done. On social media, Jimmy, that game on Friday, there was a lot of people suggesting that perhaps that should have gone back even to Belmore Sports Ground. Take that game there. That might have got a few more people there. But, look, it's a tough one. It was always going to be a tough sell. But as you say, Jimmy, they would have pulled 15,000 at Bankwest purely because in this first year of the new stadium, there's a lot of attraction just to see what the ground looks like.
Absolutely.
And that will pull people through the gates.
And the people have got to remember, the biggest customer of the National Rugby League are the broadcasters.
Mm.
And that game on television would have looked horrible. And if it was at Bankwest Stadium, it would have looked so much better.
Correct. Can't agree with you more. Hey, Dino, we talked grudge matches is our theme this week, and it doesn't get much bigger than Thursday night when the Broncos take on the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, it's certainly got some spice, hasn't it, Ray? The way Wayne Bennett left, there's no doubt Bennett is still angry at how he was treated up there, or how he perceived he was treated. Seibold had a win last night, so it all points to a massive crowd up there at the Broncos. While on Brisbane, guys, I can tell you that talks next week will open up again between the Broncos to Vita Pangai and Corey Oates. The Roosters still shape as the biggest threat for Pangai Jr. Terrific player. I'm hearing that the Broncos are prepared to pay good money, but they won't go over 700,000 for to beat a Tangai, and I think that's a fair figure too. He's a good player, but that's still some really decent coin. But if it gets any higher than that, the Broncos will pull out. And I'm also hearing, as much as they want to keep Corey Oates, terrific player that he is, if there's a bidding war on for Oates, the Broncos will have to just pull out and just say, look, you know, you're on your way, because they've said privately that they're just simply not going to overspend on these two players.
I know he's a winger, but geez, a good player, Corey Oates.
That's a lot of good
things. He took a ball last night. It just showed so much courage, running through the pack, kept his eyes on the ball the whole time.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Fantastic. And I'll tell you what, if they said to me, you've got 700 to spend on a forward, then I'd spend it on Payne Haas as opposed to Tevita Pangai Jr.
Really?
What would you pay Corey Oates, Jimmy?
Yeah, I know. That's the problem, isn't it? He's a winger. What I'd try to do as the Brisbane Broncos, I reckon he's a very popular player up there, and I'd put him in the cap at, you know, 350, 400, and try and get him an extra 200 in third-party deals. But and that's what the Broncos... I'm not saying the Broncos organised the third-party deals, but you know what I'm saying on that one, Gino. Any other news around...
No, I don't, Jimmy.
Well, where are you going with that?
Well, the clubs aren't allowed to be seen to be organising third-party deals. They've got to keep themselves arm's length
from
them.
You almost went down that path anyway.
Well, do you scrambling here, Jimmy?
Exactly.
Big good morning. We're not going to Brisbane anymore. I was going to say a big good morning to Paul White and everyone involved in the commercial team up there at the Brisbane Broncos. Any other news around before we get to team changes for today, Dino?
Yeah, just a little bit across the Tasman. Jimmy, they had a really a big effort on Anzac Day down there in Melbourne, the New Zealand Warriors. They went down by a couple of points. It was probably their boldest performance of the year, but what a disappointment across the Tasman. It was played at 8:10 in Australia, which meant the actual game over there didn't start till 10 past 10, which means it didn't finish till midnight.
Yeah.
And, of course, Friday being a work day. So, certainly I know a lot of fans of the Warriors have been protesting, just saying, look, it's just ridiculous. Look, you can't win. I know that. There's always going to be some sort of scheduling issues around times and venues. But to put that game on and over there, such a proud game too, being Anzac Day at 10 past 10, is something I think the Warriors fans have a right to be quite disappointed in.
You might have answered it, but it might be time zone that's the issue, but... The Roosters and the Dragons take turns at hosting the Anzac Day clash. When are the Warriors going to get a chance?
Yeah.
It's always the Melbourne Storm. But anyway, that's my thoughts. What about these teams today? Any changes?
Yeah, there's not a lot around, Jimmy. We've just been checking with the clubs and also on NRL.com. Manly, Canberra, that's the 2 o'clock game at Lotto Land. Got a lot of appeal this game. I think it'll be an absolute ripper down there at Brookie. Manly at the moment are 1 through 17 guys. And at the moment, too, I'm hearing the Raiders have had a nice, smooth preparation. They won't have any late changes at the moment. And, of course, the second game this afternoon, Newcastle, Parramatta, McDonald Jones Stadium. That's a 4 o'clock kickoff up there. Jamie Bure for the Knights has been dropped to the reserves. Sione Matautia has been elevated onto the bench for Newcastle. And the only change for the Eels, Daniel Alvaro, the prop, he copped them some concussion last week.
Yes.
Penny Terapo will be the new prop. Manu Ma'u will be onto the bench. And Blake Ferguson missed that opening to banquet last week with ribs. He will find his way back into the side this afternoon.
Oh, you could argue they're stronger than they were on Easter Monday. Good on you, Dino. We'll speak again next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me again, guys.
There he is. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. Time now for this.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
The headlines are saying the Broncos are back. Brisbane broke a four-game losing streak, dominating Cronulla with a 24-6 win in the NRL game at Suncorp Stadium last night. The West Tigers gained redemption after last Monday's flogging by Parramatta, defeating the Gold Coast 30-14 after trailing 14-0 at Scully Park in Tamworth. Today, Manly host Canberra and Parramatta travel up the M1 to take on Newcastle. The Swans' ordinary start to the AFL season has continued, going down last night to GWS at the SCG 120-79. Phil Davis and Buddy Franklin were late withdrawals from the Swans' starting lineup. Davis an ankle injury and Franklin because of a minor hamstring tear. Adelaide defeated St Kilda by 29. Brisbane beat the Gold Coast by 49 and Fremantle 88, the Western Bulldogs 69. The Sharks defeated the Waratahs 23-15 in Super Rugby at Bankwest Stadium last night. It was the South African team's first win in Sydney in 19 years, the Tars' fourth loss from their last six matches. The Hurricanes beat the Chiefs 47-19, the Stormers 24 to the Bulls 23, and this morning the Jaguars 20 lead the Brumbies 15 late in the second half of the match in Buenos Aires. Final round of the regulation A-League season, and Newcastle scored a consolation 2-0 home victory over Sydney FC to end the Jets' season. Sydney were already assured a second place going into the match. The Melbourne Victory beat the Wanderers 1-0. The Melbourne Vixens claimed victory in the first match of the new Super Netball season, 73-61 over the Queensland Firebirds. Last night, Collingwood beat the Sunshine Coast Lightning. Now the New South Wales local derby today at 1 o'clock at Qdos Bank Arena with the Giants versus the Swifts. The Anthony Friedman-trained Santa Ana Lane is favourite for the Chairman's Sprint Prize at Sha Tin in Hong Kong later this evening. The gelding will be ridden by Hugh Bowman. Chautauqua won the race 3 years ago, and it's one of three Group 1s on the program. Dominic Thiem defeated Rafael Nadal in the semi-final of the Barcelona Tennis Open 6-4, 6-4. The Austrian will play Daniel Medvedev after he beat Kei Nishikori. Meantime, Aussie Jordan Thompson will take on Andre Martin in the final of the ATP event in Nanchang, China, later this afternoon. NBA playoffs and Game 7 between San Antonio and Denver in Denver at midday today, the winner to proceed to the next round. No need for a Game 7 between Golden State and the LA Clippers, with the Warriors winning Game 6 yesterday to take that series 4-2. They head into the Western Conference semifinals against Houston. But first up this morning at 9:30, it's the start of the Eastern Conference semifinals with Game 1 of the series between the Toronto Raptors and Philadelphia 76ers. And Aussie Minji Lee is the current co-leader by two shots. It's midway through the LPGA event in LA. Boys, the London Marathon will be run and won later, probably late this afternoon, early evening. And thousands are flocking. They usually do anyway, but in particular this year, because Mo Farah, four-time Olympic champ, is making a charge for the title. But also the current marathon world record holder, Eliud Kipchoge, is running as well. So the organisers are expecting that the London Marathon record will be smashed, particularly with these two going neck and neck. Andy Murray is the official starter.
Oh, I thought you were saying he's going to run.
Yeah.
No, you know who
he
ran
can't
a
walk.
No, you know who ran a marathon though. What's her name? The former world number one. She ended up eventually winning that Grand Slam title. Beautiful girl. Can't think of it.
I'll come back to you. The Queen was the official starter last year, and the year before that was Kate, William and Harry. So evidently it's a prize honour.
It's a big deal. What's the record, Dan? Did you have the record time for the London Marathon?
No, I don't. Okay, but I know the world record is 2 hours, 1 minute and 39 seconds.
Oof, wow. How about that, eh?
Oh, Caroline Wozniacki. She ran the New York Marathon.
Did she really?
Yes.
That's right. I do remember seeing her on Twitter. Now, just a couple of fun facts. Did you know the average runner loses 1.25 centimetres due to spine compression?
Really? In a marathon?
Yeah.
You lose weight.
But will regain it 24 hours later as the discs regain their spinal fluid. You burn enough energy to charge a mobile phone for a year.
Really?
And the one that everybody wants to know is how many calories you burn and what you can eat afterwards. The average marathon runner burns enough calories equivalent to be able to consume 10.5 hamburgers. Afterwards.
You lose weight.
There you go.
How many schooners?
And just quickly, Eileen Noble from Bexley Heath in South East London is running her 20th marathon, and she's 84 years of age.
Oh, what a legend.
Isn't that extraordinary?
That is
84 to run a marathon.
Good on her.
Yeah, slow
she started
time,
running
though,
in her 50s.
And speaking of extraordinary, when's the last time Nadal's lost successive clay court events?
Long time.
Yeah. Back to back.
Just before you go, 10, Giants v Swifts. You mentioned that game. What sort of crowd will they get out there to that?
Oh, they'll pack it out.
Yeah.
They would absolutely pack it out.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, because there's always, there's always the build-up. Obviously, everyone's excited for the start of the season, but to start off in Sydney with that double,
When's your season start, Tim?
On Saturday.
Next Saturday,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. How's the pre-season been?
I'm not fit enough. I'm not ready.
Who do you go for? Are you Giants or Swifts?
No, I'm Giants.
Giants?
Definitely,
I'm Swifts.
I do. Used to love the Swifts, but then when the Giants came in, because
Western
I'm
Sydney.
Always the Western Sydney team, the Wanderers, the Giants in the AFL.
The Eels.
The Eels.
I was
born into that. I had no chance.
Well, I'm a Swifts fan, so go the Swifts in that one for me. And they are the outsiders too. We've got to mark it up on everything. $1.45, the Giants. The Swifts are $2.65 today. We've got to take a break, and then after the break, we'll have our event cinemas. So we better call for callers, won't we? Mm. Who wants to play? By the way, double pass today is a gold pass too.
You know what they say? Once you go gold class, James.
You never go back. So call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, 1353 53. So we've got the quiz and then Phil Moss.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
Dynamic Syndications and Kieran Maher Racing invite you to join us in a high-quality yearling colt and stallion prospect. By Exceed and Excel, world champion sire of two-year-olds, our colts from Timberina. A Group 2 winner and four times Group 1 perform. She's a half-sister to Group 2 winner Media from Jewel Stakes winner Ballerina. Become part of the Dynamic Kieran Maher team in this superb colt for $12,885 a share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is so hard. I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
China Doll, the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo. Oh, gee, I can almost taste it now. It takes fine dining in Sydney to another level. When are we going back there again, James?
You sound more like Ray Thomas than Ray Thomas, Petey Kim.
When are we going back? No, answer the question.
I'm not sure.
China Doll offers an innovative menu, impressive cocktail list, personalised service and spectacular views of the Sydney skyline. Mm-hmm. Their menu showcases a modern take on culinary traditions from China, Hong Kong, Japan and Southeast Asia. And the chilli salt squid and the king prawns are out of this world. What's your favourite, James?
Pork.
That's right. Dine where the racing industry dines, all under the expert eye of restaurateur
Steve Anastasio.
For bookings, call 02-9380-6744, 02-9380-6744, or visit the website chinadoll.com.au.
1-2, Drake and Watson. And again, well, Caitlin Blake now starting to have a day at the office, isn't she?
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, go to Swifts today in the Super Netball. Now, go on, you're a player one, so you've got to start.
You pulled rank, didn't you?
Well, I did, because what do you want to do? By the way, I heard an interesting story during the week about another couple of people who have aversions to odd numbers very quickly.
Who are they?
Joel Kane and
good man Joel.
John Hoppawattie. Joel Kane had three children. Said to his lovely wife, Kobe, we can't stay on three. We've got to have four because it's an odd number. So too with John Hoppawattie. He had seven children, and he said, I'd like to have the eighth. We can't stay on seven. They had twins.
He didn't go again.
So they had to go to 10. That's apparently a true story.
Okay. We've got Paul on line. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
How are you feeling, Paul? Confident?
I hope so.
Okay, here we go, mate. Question number one. Which NRL side plays its home games at the venue located on, is that Batty Street?
Yes.
Batty Street in the suburb of Bruce.
Canberra.
Spot on, well done. GIO Canberra Stadium. Question number two, Paul. Who won the last ANZ Championships netball title in the Trans-Tasman format? It's multiple choice, Paul. Was it the Queensland Firebirds, the Adelaide Thunderbirds, or the Melbourne Vixens?
Melbourne Vixens.
It's the Queensland Firebirds, yep. Okay, we'll get it back on track here, Paul. Question number three. The Briar is the annual tournament held as a pinnacle event in which sport in Canada? It's multiple choice, Paul. Was it curling, ice hockey, or sled dog racing?
Mm.
I'll say Ben Duffy.
What was that? Sorry, mate.
What was the last one?
The three choices are curling, ice hockey, or sled dog racing.
Sled dog racing.
It's curling.
Geez, you did your best to tip him into curling there, I must say.
That's all right, mate. You're still in the game, Paul. Hang in there, mate.
What was the last one? Well, the three options are, for me, that's a clue.
Oh, geez,
your third option's wrong.
I couldn't hear the... Do you hear the answer? I didn't hear the first one.
I exactly heard what he said.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Okay, let's move go. On. All right, now John's on the line. G'day, John.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm well, mate. Well, you see what I'm up against, though. So, anyway.
No, good luck, John. You'll be right, mate.
Here we go. Thanks, question mate. One. Which NRL side plays its home games at the ground located on Turton Road in the suburb of Broadmeadow?
Newcastle.
Yeah, spot on.
Good solid start, John, yep.
Question two, which Super Netball team does Bryony Arkle coach? Is it the New South Wales Swifts, the GWS Giants, or the West Coast Fever?
The Giants.
Oh, the other Sydney side, the New South Wales Swifts. Oh, look at you. Question three here, John. The Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy is awarded in which sporting league in the USA? Is it the NBA, the MLS, or the PBA, Professional Bowlers Association?
I'll go to the second one.
The MLS?
Yes.
Incorrect, mate. It is the NBA. All right, now, John, you're first up. How many goals, this is a tiebreaker question, how many goals have ladder leaders Liverpool scored in the Premier League this season? And the answer is somewhere between 50 and 100.
I'll go 75.
75, all right. Stay on the line, Johnny boy.
Hey, Paul, you still there?
Yeah, mate, I'm still here.
Okay, Paul, we're still in the game, mate. This is a tiebreaker question. How many goals have ladder leaders Liverpool scored in the Premier League this season? And the answer is somewhere between 50 and 100 goals.
I'll say 85.
That'll do me, Paul. It's 84. Spot on. Congratulations, mate. Hey, Paul, where are you from, mate?
I'm from Spring Farm out near Camden.
So what's the closest out there?
Spring Farm? I reckon there'd be one in the Narellan Town Centre.
Campbelltown.
Oh, Campbelltown. Is it Event Cinemas at Campbelltown? Not one at Narellan? Okay. There,
yeah,
there you go.
Right.
Well, you've got a gold class coming your way, Paul.
Stay on the line, Paul. We will get your details. Congratulations of sorts, I suppose. gold class coming your way. Gold class coming your way. So, well done on that one. All right, time now to have a chat about football. The dream is alive. I was at the kids' junior footy game yesterday, and this bloke came up to me, Ron, and said, oh, what about Liverpool? They're back to the top of the ladder. And I said, yes, yours to lose, Ron. Yours to lose. Anyway, let's see how the Liverpool Tragics are handling this weekend. Phil Moss is on the line. Are you still with us, Mossy?
Well, just, guys, yeah, just. I was almost ready for my afternoon nap listening to that, Jimmy.
Oh, you've gone off early. Yeah, there you
go. Listen, I've got a really good numbers story for you, just quickly.
Fire away.
Steve Twigg, the president of Longreef Golf Club, was telling me a story the other day about Lockie Daddo of the famous Daddo brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing around the other week, and they dropped their balls on the first tee to see who went first. And Twiggy looked at Lockie Daddo's ball and said, oh, you don't play a tightless three, do you? Lockie goes, yeah, I do. Why? And he goes, oh, that means you're going to three-putt the whole day. And sure enough, he couldn't buy himself a two-putt, couldn't buy himself a four-putt. He was a three-putt for 18 holes.
You're kidding.
There you go.
Remarkable, huh?
Something in the numbers. Something in the numbers. All right, we're just about to the end of the A-League. Sydney SC.
Arrested players, eh?
Yeah, but still, I see Ninkovic played. Lafondro played. So not really the form you want to take in the semi-finals.
Well, there's an old saying, Jimmy, don't let results mask performance. And the performance was very good.
Okay.
They should have won the game, really. But to Newcastle's credit, they were clinical. They took their two chances and took them well. And really, Ernie Merrick's got a lot to be happy with the back end of this season. And, you know, he's unearthed a couple of good youngsters too. Joey Champs, we already knew about, but Thurgate is another real talent. So things are looking certainly brighter for Newcastle for next year. But if I was Steve Corica, I wouldn't be concerned with the form going to the finals. Of course, you want a result because ultimately results breed confidence. But, you know, I think the concern for Sydney would be if you look at their recent games in the ACL and the A-League, they probably just haven't put teams away and put their put enough of their chances away. So that's something that I'm sure Steve Corriker will be working on this week going into. They've got an ACL game, obviously, and against Ulsan, and then they prepare for that home final.
And Melbourne Victory tuned up for the finals, beating Western Sydney Wanderers 1-0, and I guess spoiling Mark Bridges' farewell, Bill?
Yeah, that's correct, Ray. And look, it was a thumping header from Ola Toivonen and from a Thomas Dean cross, and a fantastic goal worthy of winning any game on any stage in world football. And it was important for Melbourne Victory. They were coming off a loss last week, and their ACL campaign never got off the ground. That was important for Kevin Muscat's team to take a result into the finals, because their form hasn't been great. Although they did turn around a little bit midweek against Guangzhou Evergrande with a young side. He'll be pleased to go into the finals off the back of that. They're just waiting to see who they play in that first final, depending on the result today between Perth and Wellington, because between Wellington and Melbourne City, fifth and sixth, it's all about the goal difference. There's one goal in it at the moment.
Yeah, so it is of great interest, this match. But before we get to that, I'm interested in your thoughts as a Liverpool lover, legend Robbie Fowler, coming to the Brisbane Roar, and yet in your position as head of the Professional Coaches Association, it's not going to an Australian coach on the up. It's going to a bloke who's never coached in his life, really.
Yeah, Jimmy, it's an appointment that has divided opinion, and it's divided my opinion as well. And look, ultimately, as an Australian coach, and as you pointed out, my position with Football Coaches Australia, if we're going to develop a coach or take a punt on a coach who hasn't got runs on the board, hasn't got a CV of sustained success or at least sustained experience, then I would prefer that, and I think it should go to an Australian coach. But I also understand the A-League does need some stardust. We are in desperate need of a real injection of interest, and Robbie Fowler is a world-renowned football name.
Yes.
And he's worked under some great managers, had great success as a player. Now it's down to him to articulate what he's learnt from those managers and forge his own career. But, look, I hope I'm proven wrong and that he is a raging success, because that will help the A-League out no end. But I'm certainly, I'm disappointed for all those quality Australian coaches that have seen another opportunity slip through their fingers.
There's certainly two arguments, isn't there, Phil? But I can see where they're all coming from. They're bringing in a person who's got such standing in the football world. And I guess now for Robbie Fowler, Jimmy and I were discussing it earlier, he should now appoint people around him that can help him with that coaching side of the business.
That's right, Ray. And from all reports, Darren Davies, who's stepped into the interim role, will stay as one of his assistants. Mm-hmm. It's yet to be seen what other staff Robbie Fowler will bring with him, whether it's from England or locals. But he has got that advantage, too, of having played in the A-League for North Queensland Fury and Perth Glory. So he does have an understanding of the Aussie landscape, the culture, the league, the travel, and all those logistics that go around it. So that certainly gives him an advantage over other foreign coaches who have come here cold.
Yeah, no, he's not doing it for the money either. From what I understand, he owns 500 investment properties.
Wow.
Around England.
One shy of your portfolio.
Please, I wish. Now, let's have a look at some of those results coming out of the EPL. Of course, it's getting tight. You're on top of the comp, you blokes. Fair dinkum. It's exciting time.
Yeah, but it's a strange feeling, and I'm sure Ray will agree with this. It's a strange feeling being on top of the comp, hoping that the team below us is going to slip up to win the comp, and also knowing that we could well go down as the greatest ever runners-up in EPL history.
Yeah.
And that is not a bridesmaid tag that you want to wear.
Looking ahead, Man City, is there a game they could drop points, do you think, Phil?
Well, it depends on this relegation battle, I think, Ray. If they go, because their last game is obviously at Brighton, and if Brighton are still, fighting for their Premier League survival, which obviously the results this morning certainly helped Brighton, because Cardiff went down to Fulham, which is a surprise result. Ryan Babel, the ex-Liverpool player, scoring for Fulham, and Brighton grabbed a point at home to Newcastle, which is a massive point because Newcastle haven't been going that poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big, big point. That gives them a four-point gap with two to play.
Mm.
And Brighton have to play Arsenal and Man City. So you wouldn't expect Brighton to pick up any more points than what they've got now. And then Cardiff have obviously got Crystal Palace and then Manchester United. So back to your original point, if Brighton are fighting for survival on the last day of the season, then that gives us Liverpool supporters a little bit of hope they might cause an upset, but it would be a monumental upset to get something out of Man City.
Mm. Remember the time when Phil Moss used to come into the studio? It's two weeks in a row now that he hasn't done it.
My son Nathan has just flown in from Whistler. He's on a snowboarding program over there for 2 weeks, so I've been at the airport since 5:30 this morning.
There you go.
My apologies.
If it's not Mudgy, it's the airport, you know, fair dinkum. Thank you, Phil. We'll speak again next week.
Have a great day, guys.
Good on you, Phil.
There he is, mate. Phil Moss with all his thoughts on the world of football. Time now for our third question in our China Doll quiz. Who's starting the London Marathon this year?
Good one.
Who is starting the London Marathon this year? Call now, 1353 53, for your chance to win a $150 voucher courtesy of China Doll. Up next, Greg Rudolph.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffersey and Dean Lester.
Plus your calls.
Sydney Radio's longest running program.
Punters Postmortem.
Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
If I told you you could be part of a champion pedigree racehorse trained by Robert Heathcote or Chris Muntz, if I told you Schnitzel and Written Tycoon were the size, if I told you you could be part of Magic Millions Day on track owner side hand, you only needed $176 and $15 per month, would you stop dreaming and do it? Life's better with a racehorse. Be part of it with My Runners at mirunners.com.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
In good time, coming late. It's going to be the beach after Battle Horse and Intuition. They're coming to line. Intuition! Intuition will plough them here from either Battle Horse or Tactical Advantage.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the program. No more calls. Gee, that
board
lights up, doesn't it? John from Coffs Harbour. So again, it's a travel. They don't mind that. Mm. Worth doing. Had Craig, who I mentioned earlier from Lake Macquarie, who said, oh, is it expensive going to China at all? I said, you know what, Craig? It's worth it. It's not expensive. It's not overly expensive. But I said the food is magnificent. Mm. So travel down from Coffs Harbour, by the way, John, and enjoy that. Congratulations. The answers to the questions. Bjorn Baker was headed to the gym.
Do you believe him?
Chest, I believe, this morning. Brad Haddon believes James Pattinson
is
the best fast bowler in Australia on his day. And Andy Murray is starting the London Marathon this year.
Well done. Yesterday, as I mentioned, Jimmy, tremendous success once again, the Hawkesbury standalone. 14 years now it's been going. It's getting bigger and bigger. Greg Rudolph, the club CEO, is on the line. Greg, good morning. And well, I think it ticked all the barometers again for another successful race day yesterday, the Hawkesbury standalone. Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, morning, Ray and Jimmy. Yeah, I think so, Ray. That's pleasing to hear coming from yourself. You were there, and you've been a great supporter. So you've probably seen the 14 standalones, and I got the feeling from the feedback we're getting that yesterday was right up amongst the best, if not the best, in all areas.
In fairness, though, Greg, he is the world's easiest marker. He's a real glass half full sort of guy. So I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but
no, yes, he is, Greg. He does that all. But no, Greg, I know the girls
we'll take
were
that, Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. I know the girls were still in the office, were still counting when I left last night. But it looks like the crowd was over 11,000. Turnover again, excellent. And
well, the other thing is quality of the horses that run. I think that's significant. So you get great support from the yards, Greg.
Yeah. Look, I think that those two things, Jimmy, go hand in hand: the quality of the horses with the turnover, and you know, just on the crowd, it seemed to be up last year. That was my third as CEO, and I've been to plenty more as in my previous role with the stewards with Racing New South Wales. But you know, looking back from the top of the grandstand, seeing it right up to the home turn, and the cars getting out last night, you know, from a crowd perspective, I think it was, you know, right up there. You know, in terms of turnover, we'll get those figures tomorrow, but there was plenty of interest, you know, fixed odds pre-race. And as you said, Jimmy, with the quality of those horses, I thought that, you know, prior to the meeting that it would throw up a good horse. And I think, you know, out of the two-year-old Creator and Erno and Military Zone and Trope out of the Guineas and, you know, even Arcademus that won the Cup, he's a horse on the way up. So I think, you know, it will produce a good horse, and hopefully the turnover figures are reflected in that tomorrow.
Greg, where can you take this meeting from here, given it's grown to a point now where it is established? Is there any prize money increases in the planning for next year?
Look, it's a good question, Ray, because, you know, when you look at the function areas and so on, which are fully booked, and how much bigger you can make it without sort of impacting on the comfort, I guess, of the patrons and their experience, you sort of have to look at, in terms of the quality of the meeting, can you make it better from a racing perspective? And there are a couple of things, you know, having extended the straight has really helped the track, you know, come on to terms with Randwick and Rosehill in terms of circumference and being a track that people can bet on and know that they'll get a fair go. The track played particularly well. Having something in terms of a, you know, camera angle that's a little bit better on the winning post for off-course punters and on-course that they can actually see the finish, I guess we've got to look at looking at some sort of function centre or grandstand down on the winning post, which caters for both of those needs. And then thirdly, as you say, prize money will probably either attract a better quality of horse to stay here or possibly even more interstate horses. A bit hard to pull them back from Brisbane at this time of the year when they're gearing up for their carnival, but, you know, even getting something up from Melbourne or interstate or keeping something going through the autumn carnival, prize money increases are a possibility. And we'll sit down and do the numbers after all that when we analyse yesterday's meeting.
We've got the China Doll feature interview with the CEO of the Hawkesbury Race Club, Greg Rudolph. Another way to bring revenue into the race club is via some infrastructure spend. Greg, is there any plans on extending the stabling out there at the course?
Yes, there is, Jimmy. They're underway. We've got a DA before the council for 80 stables on course. So, you know, we're in a geographically a very good position within access to a number of tracks, you know, within a couple of hours, metropolitan and provincial and country as well. A lot of our trainers target those, you know, Goulburn and even Scone, Musselbrook, Bathurst, Orange over the hill, so over the mountain. So, you know, geographically there is a good base there, and having just installed a $4.5 million poly track has been a great benefit in the last 12 months. So infrastructure for training is something that Racing New South Wales is obviously very supportive of, and you know, Peter Volandis has made that publicly clear, you know, even as recently as Thursday with or Friday with the announcement of looking at a wider training facility around Sydney. So, you know, we're certainly in the scope to expand on what we've got, and with 280-odd horses there at the moment, we could easily get up to 400 and cater for that pretty easily.
Terrific, Ray. Look, great day again yesterday. Really enjoyed it, as I always do. But I think more importantly, it sort of signals the end of the autumn carnival, but it doesn't finish the carnival with a whimper. It finishes with a bang, and I think the Hawkesbury standalone is certainly here to stay. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning, and congratulations again on the success of yesterday's meeting.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. No problem. We do appreciate it. Here's an SMS that's come in just before we get to Scotty Foster. Jimmy, you've been very silent about the woeful efforts of Man U lately. Any thoughts, Phil the Dragon? Yeah, I do have some thoughts on that, Phil. I still am very hopeful that Man United will be playing Champions League football next
year. What do you need? You're 3 points behind Chelsea, aren't you?
We're three behind Chelsea and three games to play. Mm. The goal difference is a concern too with Arsenal and Chelsea. So,
good luck to you.
Come on, Ola. Let's get these boys into gear. Paul Pogba was named in the team of the year, though, so I see that.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
he's turned it around.
Something
he has turned
Paul.
It around. Though.
Something, I guess, for Paul. I'll tell you what, though. This radio show, this little
it's
radio show on a
about
Sunday morning.
An hour, I think.
We can sell cars like you wouldn't believe on a Sunday morning, and I reckon we can do it again this morning. Our man Scotty Foster is on the line. He's from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Hello, Scotty.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy, and hello, Ray.
Morning, Scotty.
Been a great success, this year so far with the radio program, and congratulations to Robin Nasrullah. Robin called after the ad last week, and he was the lucky listener to pick up the 2012 Corolla. So well done to Robin.
Good on you,
and
Rob.
We do want to do the same thing for another lucky listener today, if possible.
Righto, what do you got?
So we've got some great new stock in at the moment, but the one I've picked out for the listeners is a 2006 Subaru Outback 3-litre R-Spec wagon. This is Japanese quality and reliability, packed into a great-looking all-wheel-drive wagon with all the mod cons. It has climate control, air conditioning, ABS brakes, traction control, cruise control, self-leveling suspension, front and side airbags, power windows. This one's got the suede leather seat, 17-inch alloy wheels, and a rear spoiler. This car looks and drives amazing. It is an all-wheel drive wagon packed full of safety and comfort options, and it is on sale today for the ridiculous price of just $5,990. This is a 2006 Subaru Outback 3-litre spec R automatic wagon, and it is just $5,990. So go to the website www.fostersqualitycars.com.au or give us a call on 96375024, just like Robin did. And be quick, because last week, these cars are cheap and they do sell. So don't miss out on this one.
Yeah, they sell fast. And you can help with finance packages, Scotty.
Yeah, we've got great finance packages available for this car or any of our cars. We've got access to a number of lenders, and this allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business, need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024 and let us get you driving a vehicle as soon as today.
You're still hanging out with Mick Appleby from the Good Truck Wholesalers?
Certainly am. Mick's a great bloke. He sent me a clip it was Good Friday, the first Good Friday game, and he was playing on the wing for the Roosters, and he scored 2 tries, so he didn't mind giving himself a bit of a rap there, so he sent me the link to it, which was funny to see. But he's got some great trucks down there at work, so if you're after a truck, give us a call, and we'll get you into a truck as well.
Righto, congratulations to Bevan French, who is really the answer to the trivia question, who scored the first try at Bankwest Stadium?
When he played there last week, obviously before the NRL, he scored the first 2 tries ever. He scored the first and the second try of the match, and we came away with a win as well. So we were actually went with Bills, the first team to win a match of footy there as well, which we're going to be very happy to have a bit of history there in rugby league.
That's fantastic. Good stuff, mate. And, of course, they're there today. They're at Newcastle today. They're playing before that one. Ron Massey at Asquith,
Yeah, where Royal Massey's side played Asquith at Story Park. That kick-off's at 3 p.m. So, mate, enjoy your trip up the freeway.
Yes. Yeah, well, actually, there might be something in that. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak again next week, and let's sell this car today.
Thanks, boys.
See you, Scotty Foster there from C. Foster & Sons Quality Cars. Go on, buy the 2006 Subaru Outback before someone else does. Find them online, fosterqualitycars.com.au. Just before we say goodbye, we'll go have another call. We've got plenty of calls.
Greg's on the line.
Talk about the topic today. Morning, Greg.
Yeah, morning, boys. Grudge match. USA Canada ice hockey.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Another one. Bone crusher, our Waverley Star.
Oh.
Like 86 Cox plate.
Equine immortality.
Yes, and to a lesser degree, the first premiership match, Roosters Canterbury of 2003.
2003.
After the salary cap issue with Canterbury the year before, and the Roosters being premiers of 2002.
And then they played a grand final in 2004.
That's it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Greg, good call, mate. Yeah, you know what? Stay on the line, mate. You're our wingman winner today.
There you go.
Beauty. Bone Crusher, our Waverley Stars of Beauty. So, yeah, stay on the line.
On you, Greg.
Greg, grudge matches. What about Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson? They fought five wars over 3 years in the
1940s. What was that great movie, Jake LaMotta?
Raging Bull.
Oh, geez.
Legendary. Robert you never knock me down, Ray. Yeah. You never knock me down.
De Niro at his best.
I could say the same about you this morning, too. You never knock me down, Ray. You landed a lot of punches.
Where are you going today, James?
But you never knock me down.
Are you calling this afternoon?
Coming up on Racing HQ, Gary Harley previews the 10-week Cup Day. John Scorse looks at the program for Goulburn. And remember that the Big Sports Breakfast is back tomorrow morning at 5:30.
I'm only asking, are you calling today?
Yes, I'm calling.
Because I was going to get your tips for the two games. Which one are you calling first?
I'm calling the Knights v Eels match.
Okay, which is going to be a cracker. Who wins Manly v Canberra first?
Oh, tight. I'll go with Manly.
They come with the Raiders and Knights v Eels.
Who are you going in this one?
I could go for Eels.
Right, well, I'll go for the Knights then.